Many of you feel peculiar this morning. How many got one hand? How many of you feel odd or unusual? Got another hand there. Well, we know that we are told that we are a peculiar people, that we are to be a peculiar people. And that's what I'm going to talk about today. My title there is a little bit weird. So I don't know really whether the word weird is a good one to use, but I am going to use it anyway. So let's have a word of prayer. Our gracious God, our Heavenly Father, yes, you have called us unto thee to be a peculiar people, a people of the book. And we pray, Father, through the guidance of the Holy Spirit, that we will be that peculiar people that you want us to be. We know that there is a struggle going on in this world far beyond what we can see with our eyes. But we know that Satan has already been defeated. Christ is the champion. And soon this world will be given back to him, where he will be our king. He will be our savior. And that we will be able to be by his side. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Yes, God called the Jewish nation to be a peculiar people unto himself. Deuteronomy 14:2, if you would turn there. Deuteronomy 14, that would be our first verse for today. Deuteronomy 14, verse 2. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself above all the nations that are upon the earth. Yes, we see that. And God has called his remnant church today to be a peculiar people here upon this earth now. 1 Peter 2:9, which was our reading for today. 1 Peter 2:9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the promise of him who has called you out of darkness unto the marvelous light. A peculiar people. Dictionary says strange, odd, unreal, different, belonging to one person or thing and not to another. Also, it says under peculiar people, God's own chosen people, the Jews, Deuteronomy 14:2. Also, a term applied to themselves by a number of Christian sects. But we know that we are not a Christian sect. We are a church. And we are called to be a peculiar people unto him. The Bible commentary tells us on First Peter 2:9, a people into possession, or a people whom God has come into possession of. God came into possession of the Israelite nation, and he has come into possession of his remnant church today. Also, the commentary says on Deuteronomy 14:2, belonging especially or exclusively to an individual. Titus 2:14, if you'd turn there. Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. It says, chosen by God for himself. The Christian church, while awaiting the second advent, will also fulfill the mission once assigned to the Jewish nation of revealing in word and deed the principle of God's government. And yes, that is what God wants us to do there. God chose Israel to be a peculiar people then, but we know that they lost that status. Today he has given it to to the people today, out of every nation, tongue, and people, to be spiritual Israel today, his church here on earth. So let's look at some of the places in the Bible where it looks and even sounds a little strange or odd or unaware or even a little bit weird. We'll first look at man, and let's see how Paul is that. Before Paul was called Saul, before he was called Paul, he was Saul, and we'll look at that in chapter 9 of Acts. We don't have to go there. But see, we see that Saul going to the high priest, asking for permission to go after the Christians, to arrest them and bring them back for trial. Ellen White says that Christ allowed this to happen, and many people lost their lives for him. But what a conversion with Paul. There, where he was at, going after the Christians. But then he became a champion for Christ, which we should be also today. And if you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, where we see a different Paul. We hear his words that they seem a little bit odd and even a little weird compared to his movements, his song. Verse 9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ might rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. Where I am weak, then I am strong. And it's the same for us today. And I just wonder if we went through that same type of commitment that Paul has went through. That we had infirmities, reproaches, necessities, persecutions in our lives. And if we have not, they will be coming. So we know that we have to truly be connected to the Word of God, just as Paul was. But what a transformation in his life. You know, committed to destroying the followers of Christ to becoming an apostle of the risen Christ. And it does sound a little odd or even a little weird in this transformation of Paul. But it may seem that same way with us today in our transformation to becoming disciples, becoming children of God. Each one of us lives a different life. Different circumstances come to each one of our ways. But if we can put them together and that we can turn to the Lord Jesus Christ to help us through anything that comes our way, whether it's good or bad, God, the Lord Jesus Christ, will be there to help us through anything that comes up against us. Then we can look at Abraham, see the sacrifice he promised from God. Not really believing that he was going to give him that son, you know, that he promised him, you know. But then to see that weird thing that after he had given his son Isaac for God to ask him to sacrifice his own son. And without question, we read that Abraham did that, without question, readied everything and took Isaac to be sacrificed. His faith in God. How strong is our faith today? Especially in the calamities that come up against us, that come up against the church. I just pray that we do have that kind of faith. We look at the life of Job and see all the things that happened to him. Don't seem like one person could or even have to go through all that God or Job went through, but it did happen. A little weird, a little odd in his life. So I just see that we know that it does happen, and it did happen. And I don't know if, as I said, whether weird is a good word for use to use for the actions of God. But I'm going to, in this case here, to see how that is there, to look at God's actions and to see what they do it. But it's really through how people see God today or look at God today that it may sound weird or even odd to do that. So let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Here in Deuteronomy, we're able to see the record of instructions given to Moses by God to give to the children of Israel. And in this instructions, the law is repeated. And as we look at these verses, we can see the strange things here. It's not so strange really yet, but it did. But verse 6. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. Several times, several verses, God mentions this, that they are a holy people. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all the people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And we see that that doesn't seem, you know, too strange. But we see the actions of a loving God in these verses, that he will care for his children. So we see him. But then let's go and see, by man's thoughts and ideas, a different God. Or at least, as I said, in the eyes of men today. It's how he dealt with his children. We'll go to the book of Hosea. The book of Hosea. It's right after Daniel. The book of Hosea, right with chapter 1. We know that the theme of this book is God's love for his erring children. But it seems like to man that it's an odd, unusual, weird way to deal, to show his love for them. As I said, at least in the eyes of man. And it does seem strange for a loving God to have Hosea marry such a woman, a harlot. Especially as something like this seems out of place for the character of God. As I always say, the character of God is love, that he is love. But we'll see through here some of these verses here as we read. And if I name the children here and use the words there, I'm going to not do any words. So I might use the meaning of each one, so I do with it there. And sometimes I think I can pronounce Jezeri, but whether that's the right way or not. But Jezeri is God will sow, or God will sow, or not, or God will sow. I should say not sow, I should say it. And we read that there. We'll start with verse 2. The beginning of the Word of God by Hosea. And the Lord said to Hosea, go take unto thee a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms, for the land hath committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord. So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, which conceived and bare him a son. And the Lord said unto him, call his name Jezeri, or God will sow. For yet a little while, and I will avenge the blood of Jezeri upon the house of Jeru, and will cause to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel. There's two things in there in that verse there. He is going to avenge the blood of his upon the house of Jeru. He's going against it. Jeru had killed all the family of Ahab. He was instructed to do it, but the reason for him really to do it was different than what God wanted to. So God was going to have to punish Jeru for that. And so, and what causes to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel? Here he is telling these people that he is going to take his hand away from Israel. He was going to have to punish them. You see that? That the northern kingdom was going to be destroyed. And it shall come to pass at that day that I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel. See that he's going to do that. Destroy that kingdom, the northern kingdom. At this time right now, he's talking about northern Israel. The northern kingdom, I should say. Israel. And she bare again, and she conceived again and bare a daughter. And God said unto him, call her name, not pity, or not having received compassion. For I will no more have mercy upon the house of Israel, but I will utterly take them away. Here we read way back in Deuteronomy that they are a holy people unto him, a peculiar people. Here he says that he is going to utterly take them away, that he is going to let them be taken captive and taken to another part of the world. Some commentators say that Hosea was not the father of this daughter. It was probably the result of the adultery of Gomer, but that cannot be proven. And it's a little bit about the same one with the second son also, whether that truly was Hosea's son. And then in verse 7, seems like God changes a little bit here again. Goes back to what he was. But I will have mercy upon the house of Judah. Here he is talking about the southern kingdom, which they had not yet reached that point of no return, but we know that they do, because they were even taken captive. And will save them by the Lord, their God, and will not save them by bow, nor by sword, nor by battle, nor horses, nor by horsemen. And as here he's saying it, there's not going to be any military intervention in it. And that's the way with Israel. They had military intervention to take care of their enemies. But here, God was not going to use military intervention. He was going to do it himself. And if we continue to read the story of it, that we know that's just what he did. We know that when Israel and Judah behaves or does as the law, as God says, that he does deliver them, and he will deliver us today also if we are truly his and keep his commandments. In verses 8 and 9, now when she had weaned, oh, Mia, or yes, not there, but it means not my people, she conceived and bare a son. Or when she weaned, Lord, then said God, call his name Lomi, for ye are not my people. And that's what it is, not my people. And I will not be your God. Here he's telling them again that he's going to leave them. He's not going to be their God, but kind of their wickedness. The heart of him, he's talking about the northern kingdom of Israel, the adultery that they went against God in his commandments. To see that intent, then again, yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered, and it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto him, ye are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, ye are the sons of the living God. So we see that. We see Israel being reduced to what they were reduced to, paying the consequences of their actions as a nation. But then we see God intervening again. And he shows his great love for his erring children, that he will restore them, as he tells them there in verse 10. In 11, to read in verse 11, then said the children of Judah and the children of Israel, be gathered together and appoint themselves one head, and they shall come up out of the land, for great shall be the day of Jezreel. So we see God changing back and forth here, it seems like, to be a loving God in one respect, but maybe being an avenging God in another respect. So we truly see that God will bring them back to and restore them. We see that. And then 14 verses, the other verses, we go down for us in chapter 2. We will see these things happening also. We see the story of Hosea here, and it does sound a little bit weird. But it also does in the stories of many of the other stories in the Word of God. But we are able to see the great working of our God in dealing with his wayward children, even today. He has not left us. He is here for us. But yet, if we do not keep his commandments, we will be lost. Ellen White tells us in Testimony 1, page 550, as a people, we are in a special sense the Lord's. Christ has bought us. God designs that we should preserve in simplicity and holiness our peculiarity as a people. Testimonies 4, pages 225 and 226, she writes, those who profess our exalted faith, who are keeping God's commandments and expecting the soon coming of our Lord, should be distinct and separate from the world around them, a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Among the peculiarities which should distinguish God's people from the world in these last days is their humility and meekness. We pray that we have that humility and meekness ourselves to see that. So we know that, and as we look at chapter 2, we can see others about Israel's unfaithfulness and how God condemned it. Say ye unto your brethren, Amelia, and to your sisters, Rahamama, plead with your mother, plead, for she is not my wife, neither am I her husband. Let therefore put away her whoredoms out of her sight and her adultery from between her breasts, lest I strip her naked and set her as in the day that she was born, and make her a wilderness and set her like a dry hand and slay her with thirst. And we know that God did do that. And he's talking about the nation of Israel here at this time. And I will not have mercy upon her children, for they are the children of whoredom. For their mother has played the harlot. She that conceived them both hath done shameful. For she said, I will go after my lovers that give me my bread and my water, my wool and my flax, mine oil and my drink. Therefore, behold, I will hedge up the way with thorns and make a wall that she shall not find her pass. And she shall follow after her lovers, but she shall not overtake them. And she shall seek them, but shall not find them. Then shall she say, I will go and return to my first husband, for then was it better with me than now. We know that these things did happen to the Jewish people, that God did reject them. They had to pay the consequences of their lives, of what they did and when they went against God. But he told them that they were a holy people, a nation unto himself. That if you obey my commandments, I will be your God and you will be my children. And he's telling us that today. If you obey my commandments, you will be my children and I will be your God. We have that assurity today. And I pray that we really take that to heart. Especially in the great controversy as Satan is trying to tear us away from God, away from the Lord Jesus Christ. He's using every means possible, means that we don't even know, can even understand. But if we have that close connection with our God, keep a hold of that hand of Jesus Christ, we will not fail. And I pray that for all of us, that we do that. And as I say, peculiar, strange, odd, different, or even a little bit weird. And as you continue through with the chapter 2 there, you see that how God will seek vengeance, or should say, where Israel will pay the consequences of those adulterous years that they had. They were prosperous at one time. God gave them all that they needed to survive and to live. But they were to take that away from them. But as we read and see in verses 14 and on, we see the restoration of Israel, where he will restore them. And we know that God did restore his people back to him. So we know that we truly have the opportunity ourselves today to be Christ, to be our God, to be God's peculiar people. And we know as God's children that no matter what circumstances comes our ways, he does not see it as odd or weird. He has an answer. He has a solution for anything that comes into our ways and into our lives. He sees us waiting for the coming of our Lord in all of his glory to take us home with, spend eternity with him. We know that that is our desire today, and I pray that that's our desire for each and every one of us, to be able to be identified with the Lord Jesus Christ today. Especially as a way that they are trying to take Christianity out of the world today. To take Christ out, to take God out of every equation. You know, you have to be politically correct today. So you can't use God, you can't use the word Jesus without repercussions in some way. It will come up against us as God's people, and it's coming. May not come in any of our lifetime here, but yet there are some here young enough that it may, where we really will have to step up and become that peculiar people that Christ wants us to be. So I just pray this day that that's what will happen to us. Yes, our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for the armor that we may put on, that we may have that protection of the wiles of the devil. The great controversy that is going behind the scenes that we are not able to see. And the controversy that is going on in our lives that we can see. Because we have a part, we are a part of it. Oh, Father God, in the glory of our Christ, we pray and ask that thou be there for us. You have given us the Holy Spirit to guide and direct us. And we pray that we will listen to that small, still voice that speaks to us. Truly, as we are the Son of God, sons and daughters of God, we are that peculiar people that follows after the Lord Jesus Christ. So we thank thee, Father, to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory now and for all eternity. In his precious name, amen. Thank you.